Thanks.
And the last project is...
Teresa here, have a question.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Have you talked to anyone with KPFT about the prison portal?
No, it was really... No, because Serene was the person who said she wanted to work on it. And so, you know, we kind of wanted to start with her. So it's actually, that might be a question better directed at Serene in terms of how she wants to move ahead, because obviously KPFT is a really important part of that.
So
between New York and Texas, we've got, like, you know, a lot to talk about.
So we need to figure out a way to facilitate that.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have Elizabeth Ann Stein, who does Execution Watch and Ray Hill, who works with both the prison show and Execution Watch. I could have them contact someone.
Well,
so,
Serene, can they contact you? Would that work for you, or would you like us to do it differently?
No, that's fine. I'm actually on the on the Ray Hill Yahoo group, so I know the people she's talking about. I'll reach out to them. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, and maybe at some point you could organize a call with Chris where all of you got together and brainstormed about what you wanted. I think something like, if you'd like Chris to set that up, I could ask him to do it. But
I'll reach out to him before the weekend.
Okay,
and
excellent.
And make sure that everyone's included.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, we're excited about getting that going. And then we have been looking for appropriate way to move forward with the group underwriting project, which is real important because it means a lot to the affiliate. And I think could end up meaning a lot to Pacifica, too, because that's a project where there's really much more income potential. And but we haven't moved on that real quickly other than to... do some thinking about appropriate partners for that. And, you know, we've been talking about it today. And, you know, I know, Heather, you've been working with the development committee on the issue of underwriting as well. And I was wondering if maybe with your leadership we could put together some sort of process where I think the first step is to establish criteria for something like this in terms of who we would want to work with. And I think that maybe that would be a real important step to take. So it's something you may want to think about, you know, and not just for Pacifica, but for the affiliates as well. And we have a lot of affiliates who have a lot of experience with this type of decision making. And I think it would be very beneficial to put some thought into that and come up with some sort of, you know, criteria.
Well, let me just
come on. Come on. Come on.
Whoever has the dog needs to pound down one. I need for Ursula to kind of repeat her last two sentences and then Heather to respond, because I'm confused with the dog.
Well, what I was saying is before we proceed with the a group underwriting project for the affiliate program, I think the first step is to come up with a description of criteria that everybody's comfortable with, including the affiliates, because that will have a big effect on who we work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really important. The only thing I want to say, and I don't want to belabor this point, but as far as whatever we've done on development, really it was that we brought in Matt Murphy from the station in Maine and also Norm from Wisconsin to talk about their underwriting program. I did write up some notes. I thought it was very interesting. I know it was different for a lot of the folks on development to hear about this, but anyway, yes, Ursa, I think that I'd like to have more of a discussion with you about this. We should, and one of the things we need to do is talk with these affiliates who already have, you know, some good programs in place to come up with these criteria. But that could be done, absolutely.
Yeah,
so,
and to be clear, this is not about underwriting for, in here in particular, this is not about underwriting for Pacifica. This is underwriting that would go to the affiliate station.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I don't know if everybody, I don't know if everybody saw those notes. I don't know if everyone on the, I sent them out a bit. I probably didn't send them to the affiliates. I might send the notes to the affiliate task force that I took from the discussion that we had with them, which I thought was really interesting. Here I am, an affiliate with an affiliate station. We do some underwriting, never enough. But I thought that their comments and their criteria were really interesting. So I might send them out to you all as well, just for your consideration. But, yeah, so we'll talk more about that, Ursula. Thanks.
Okay.
So is that the end of your report?
Just one more thing, which is Dina's been doing some great work with me. I don't know if most of you aren't aware that I'm participating this year in a program that it kind of gives business consulting advice, and we've gotten some really great advice from them. Dina kind of helped set this up. And one of the things we're working on right now is creating branding statements for the Portal Project to help to market it, really, to kind of declare to the world what this is, why it's important, and kind of throw down a little bit what we believe is exciting about it. And so Dina and I have been brainstorming on it. And Dina, can I share just a few of our first attempts with them?
Go ahead. I don't care.
So just to give you a sense of where we're headed, for instance, the statement of we're coming up with statements, which are questions, such as, what if it is possible for us to be more and more unusual in our programming and in doing so receive more funding? Or, what if free speech flourishes at our radio stations and we all take democracy to the next level? Or, what if your station were to get exactly the funding you want for your bold character and uncommon voices? What if your station's unique local character and uncommon voices were to attract the funding you need? So we're working on, you know, a message which basically expresses to that our mission is to support the unique, diverse voices that community radio is, and that in fact will be something that will excite funding. So that's what that's kind of where we're at right now. I don't think we've hit on what we think is perfect, but I just wanted to share kind of some of the thoughts that have been happening and thank Dina for, you know, the time she's taking to try and work on this. So
thank you, Ursula, and thank you, Dina. I mean, that takes such a focus and creativity. I'm so glad you're taking that on.
Thanks.
Wonderful. All right, so I also want to thank them for that. So.
Thank you.
All right, so let me just get this agenda up again. One of the things we talked about on the agenda, I think the next item on the agenda, while I'm looking for this again, I got out of my email here, is the newsletter. And so, Ursula, actually, before we go to that, does anybody have any questions of Ursula, actually? I guess not. All right. So you answered all the questions, Ursula.
I think the next item on the agenda is new business. And then unfinished business, which is affiliate newsletter, then survey.
Thank you, yes. Right, right. So I don't know if we have any new business, actually. Anybody has anything? Does anybody have any new business? Well, I'd like to go to the affiliate newsletter then. And I must tell you all, talking about a newsletter and in today's technology is a little bit difficult, and Ursula and I have been talking about this some, and I know she's been talking about this with Dina some as well. So, Ursula, I was wondering if we could share with folks, because I appreciate everybody's idea about this. What we've talked about doing is having coming up with a year schedule and having, Ursula, help me with this now, have like one station that will be highlighted for the month and talk about their programming. Would you talk about that a little bit, what we discussed on that?
Yes.
none of this is firm yet, but I think it's, you know, a good idea actually to do something like this. We talked about a few things. Would you make
that? Okay. I mean, we've gone around and around this a lot, and I really think that if we want to make this something that will work in this day and age, we really have to see the newsletter as a relatively short and sweet email that goes out and leads people to the website and drives people to the website, because people don't really read newsletter emails, but they do go to websites. And I think, so what I think that our newsletter should basically be once a month, or no, actually I think once a week is what we would really be the best thing. Would be a photograph from somewhere, a compelling photograph, a story from an affiliate station, and then links to other stories that are on the website. And maybe some very brief news about the affiliate network, like new stations or anything of importance. Like this past week we lost an affiliate, meaning that the affiliate went off the air. They financially couldn't stay on the air, and so they sold the frequency to to public radio. So there is news, you know, and so maybe brief news of great relevance, and then basically links to the website, to articles on the website, and then on the website we can do video, we can do audio, we can do whatever we want, and so I think that and this is really something maybe Dina, you should talk about more than me because you have more to say, and so I'll just summarize and then let you finish, Dina. Basically, I think that we should get together with a certain number of stations that seem to be ready, or hopefully are ready, to work with us on this, and come up with an agenda for as many, either once a month, or, you know, the months of the year, or the weeks of the year, or biweekly, and decide what the topics will be, and try and get commitments from affiliates to take, you know, to provide a story for each of those slots. And I think that we can do that because, you know, they write stories for their own websites, so they are generating stories. And just to set it up so that we kind of know, so that we kind of get going, you know, because we're always, you know, you want to say something from here? You're actually more articulate than I am on this.
Well, I don't know how articulate I am, but I know I have my own newsletter that goes out. And I think what the best setup is to set up, I mean, I can talk to Chris about it actually, but, or Heather, but is to set up an Excel spreadsheet and list the months and then list the stations. Do it, start by the month. Let's get some success. And then if we want it bi-monthly, we can make it bi-monthly, but at least we know that once a month it's going to go out. And it seems to me that you get 12 stations to commit to doing it, and we have to set up a schedule so that it makes sense that by the second week, let's say it's going to go out the first of every month, the second week of the month, the next station starts putting out a promo for the newsletter. And then the third week, they put out a second promo. The fourth week, they put out a third promo. And then they come out with the newsletter. That would make sense, because the promo is just three sentences, maybe, that it's coming and the story is on and it's an affiliate, sort of like we listened to today. It's not much more than we have a new affiliate. It's in Viejas, Puerto Rico. So-and-so is going to be on the air and talking about setting up the new station. That's the promo. It's not more than that. And it doesn't have to be difficult, but it can be their responsibility. The other piece that we haven't talked about that I think would lead to other work on the portal is to have people register who come on the website who may not be station managers. Anybody else that comes on, if we could get their email address, then as we grow the portal in many other ways, we would be sending them, because they have registered, not to sell their information ever, not to use it for any reason other than portal purposes, to send newsletters out. And I think you build your audience that way. You start with one, and then you'll have, you know, 50 people. And for all of Pacifica and its affiliates, I think we could grow this into huge numbers. And the newsletter can be very short. My newsletter has a quote every week, you know, every time I put it out. It has two or three, I mean, short paragraphs, maybe three sentences in each paragraph. And I usually have a resource that they can go to, another website, a book, an article, something that makes sense, and then a brief something about me. And that's the whole newsletter. It's not complicated, even though it may take me, you know, it may take time. Right now, I have an Excel spreadsheet with all 12 months laid out. When I'm looking at quotes and I see a quote having something to do with something I'm doing, I throw it into the newsletter for whatever month. So I've already started on that newsletter. When I see an article or a book or something, a video that I am interested in and I think it's of value, I stick it on the Excel spreadsheet in the month it belongs to, so that when I have to start the newsletter, you're talking about less than 10 sentences. So it's not that big a deal. It's that we're making it a big deal.
I agree. I'd like to say something. Teresa here.
So you know, I think there's a way of helping all I'm going to end is saying that there's a way of structuring this ahead of time so that it is simple. It's really simple and efficient, and then we know the stations are on top of it. If they're not putting the PR out in the midweeks in between the last newsletter, then we know we have a problem, and then somebody from the affiliate task force has to scramble and follow up on it. If not the task force, then Christopher. I don't know who needs to be responsible, but we need to make sure that the stations are on top of it with the structure that we set up. So the first piece, Heather, is to set up the structure. And then it should fly. It should be very easy.
Teresa here.
Well, thanks. Teresa, just a moment. I just wanted to mention that here we were talking about Serene and the prison project. And Serene, are you still on, I hope? Are you there?
I am.
Okay, so I was thinking that even, you know, once we get information about the prison program, I don't know exactly what you're thinking along that line, but there are probably other affiliates around the country that also have prison shows. I think it would be so great for us to periodically have information going out throughout the network about what's happening with the prison shows or what are some of the critical issues that people are addressing. I'm just throwing that out there, that if we have particular topics like that, and I know that Diane in New York is also working on labor programs and making contacts with various producers working on labor. So, you know, once we begin developing some of these topical areas, we can do a lot with that as well.
We could put a sidebar in for updates, you know, on each, whether it's program updates or whether it's station updates. It would be on a sidebar, and any station can write in by a certain date and get that information into the sidebar.
Yeah, I want to be clear about one thing. This was something that
you know, became a subject of many discussions earlier about, you know, what kind of information we should choose to put on the newsletter. And I just want to reiterate that that really is not an issue, because a newsletter can create a lot of links to stories on PacificaNetwork.org, and any story anybody has, whether it's the prison portal or whatever, you know, it can be on the website, and then all we have to do in the newsletter is link to these stories. I mean, we should be so lucky as to have too many stories on the website. But
right.
there's infinite space for stories.
Right.
Well, let me just mention to everybody who's on the call tonight that the challenge that we face, I think, is getting everybody involved in this, because there's a lot of work that can be done. So please, everyone, as you're listening to this, if you have some interest or some places that you think that you could sort of assist on, that would be great. Or maybe we need to come up with some sort of task on what people can do. But anyway, I'm just throwing that out there, because that's the challenge, I think, it's for us to get more people involved in this process. Teresa, I know you had a comment you wanted to make. Go ahead.
I would just like to say, I think you're right, Dina, we should drive people to our website, have things on our website, have pictures on our website. I mean, I went to a workshop on social media, and Houston Zoo gave part of the presentation. And they had this little video of a baby elephant in a baby pool. And that little baby elephant was so excited about being in that water that it was trouncing the hell out of that pool. I mean, it was like, it was in and out, stepping on the edge. I mean, it was going to ruin the pool. But, I mean, it was exciting to watch. I mean, here is a really excited little baby elephant. And they got so many hits from that they decided to put something next to it to generate income, like, you know, I think we need to build a baby pool for our elephant. And I think that if we can get exciting things like that on our website, and if we can...
The website is great. I don't know if you've looked at it lately, but it's updated and moving along.
Let me tell you, I try really, really hard to tell people to go to PacificaNetwork.org all the time, because I know from there they can go to the websites of the stations. And I hope that the stations would be thrilled. That's why I asked the question of Robert Rabin about, you know, is this website up? Because to me, it's a learning experience whenever I go to see an affiliate's website. I mean, I learn from them, and I give them feedback. You know, I send them an email and say, you know, this link didn't work, or I love your pictures, or, you know, I learn from every one of them. But to help our listeners, if we can do a short newsletter that has the links to get them there, and then their interest is piqued with other links to things, it's just like, you know, if I go on YouTube, like if you put baby moose in the sprinkler, and you go to YouTube, and you go watch this baby moose in the sprinkler, and then you see a picture of, that looks interesting. I'll link to that. Well, if we could get our website to, you know, encourage people to be going on the websites of other affiliate stations, that really, I mean, you can have somebody sit down at the computer and stay there visiting websites of affiliates for a couple hours. So I'm all for that. And I agree that our newsletter doesn't need to be that complicated. Since we have such a wonderful website, if we, quote, drive people to it, that is a wonderful thing.
All right, thanks. Does anybody have any comments they'd like to make about all this, about the newsletter? Anyone?
Well, Heather, I think in terms of people's involvement, I think what we should do is that we should probably organize a conference call soon with interested affiliates and try and make a first stab at, a plan, as Dina was proposing. And what I should probably do is post to the task force when that call is, in case anybody, any of you, want to be part of that call and, you know, listen, at the very least, just listen in and get a sense of what's happening. Does that make sense?
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
All right, so...
Can I also, can I say something about getting involved?
Heather, if you want to talk to me and we set up an Excel spreadsheet for the structure, I don't think it'll take more than, 15 minutes to half an hour.
Wonderful. I heard somebody else saying something.
Yes, I'm Keena. I just want to say that I've asked before if you wanted me to do surveys to get contact me, and if there's anything else you want me to do. I sort of feel, like I'm not doing anything, but...
I understand. All right.
So just let me know what I can do. I'm not sure what I can do.
Okay.
Akina, you were interested in doing some of the surveys of radio stations, right?
Yes,
and I think Katina had expressed an interest as well. So, Ursula, we need to move forward on some of that.
So,
we will be in touch with you, or Ursula will be in touch with you. And Katia, are you still on as well? Is Katia still there?
I am. I'm here.
No problem. You would also express an interest in doing some of the surveys, right?
Exactly.
That's wonderful. So we'll be in touch with you, definitely. Ursula, it might be a good idea for you to do a bit of a training with them if they haven't done that already before they talk
with you. Okay. When is a good time to do a training with you?
Anytime, Ursula. You let me know what. I'll email you as well. I think we worked together before on something, so I will. I think I have your email address. I'll email you. But pretty much any time, if you want to try for tomorrow Friday, but any time next week if you have time.
Should we do it a week from today, next Thursday at 7 o'clock?
I think that'll be okay. How long will the training take, do you think?
An hour?
Yeah, I think that's fine. I'll check my calendar when I go into work tomorrow, but I think that should be fine.
Now, are both of you on the West Coast or where
I'm in LA. Do you also need to train me?
Probably would be a good thing to do. So we're talking about LA and DC, right?
Yes.
Right.
Okay, so we should. What's a good middle of? Is 8 o'clock Eastern time? That's 5 o'clock Pacific time. Is that okay, or is that too early?
No, that's good. Actually, that's good.
Okay, so let's do it at the exact same time next Thursday at the same number.
Okay.
Okay. The same.
Okay.
Same
let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Wonderful. Okay, great. It won't take long. I think it's just Ursula provides some really helpful information before folks start doing these interviews. Now, I just want to mention that we did discuss, rather than interviewing all of these 180, to do a sampling. So I put out some suggested samplings, not numbers, but just some criteria like urban, a certain number of urban stations, a certain number of rural stations, some Native American stations, and then make sure we have a sampling of stations from the East, West, Midwest, and Southeast. So I don't know, we just need to look at that and see what numbers make sense. So I just threw that out there for people's consideration. If you have any ideas along that line, I'd really appreciate it. was that John coughing there? John?
No, it was Dina.
Oh, Dina, sorry. Is John still on? I think I heard some people getting off, so.
Heather, did you send out an email with those criteria?
I did. I put it in the agenda. I just put it in the agenda. I just had, there's three basic categories, so take a look at that. And now the other thing I just want to mention is that we had talked about wanting to get some interns. Interesting dialogue about this. I don't know what we're going to do about this. Again, it's sort of a challenge for us, I think, where we're sort of spread around the country and not necessarily knowing what people's time constraints are or whatever. But I'd like to continue with this discussion. If anybody has any other additional ideas on what we could do about interns, how we could do this is a challenge. But basically, we wanted to get interns who could help us do some writing. But it's something to still consider. I don't know what on earth we could do about it, where the interns could be or how we could manage them as a challenge. And that often takes time, I know. It's just what you have all kinds of time, right, Ursula?
So. Well, yeah, I mean, this is, you know, I think it would be really great to have interns, and this is an area where I would ask the task force to step up if you can, because it's difficult to express how thin we're stretched right now. You know, we all know these are very hard times at Pacifica, and we are struggling just to keep the basics together right now. And I'll be honest. I mean, I'm stretched so thin. I know that I won't be able to get that together. And I would love to see it happen. And if this is something anybody at the task force knows where to go, I think it would be wonderful. But just realistically, I know I won't get there. I can't manage that.
Mm-hmm. So does anybody have any ideas? Any additional ideas on interns?
Heather, I'll talk to you offline on it.
Okay, great. Gina, you have some ideas?
Yes. Is it possible to send us a description of what you want the intern to do so we can start asking around? We have interns for our, radio program. We always are getting interns, so maybe from the same colleges we can get other interns. But I don't know specifically what we're requiring, what our requirements.
That's a good question. We need to figure that out.
I've had over 100 interns over many years, and when I was working for a nonprofit, and I oversaw them, and I taught them how to travel, which was something they had never done before. So they were traveling among 5 boroughs. They were going to sites, and they were surveying the sites. So, and they were looking to see that it had to do with the food program, and they were looking to see that, A, the site was feeding and was following the instructions on time. They had paperwork to fill out every day, forms that were pre-made, which meant that they went to the site, it got signed off by somebody at the site in charge, and they came back, and every day they went to 2 or 3 different sites, because I was the only one looking at hundreds and hundreds of sites in an 8-week period. So I trained them and I met with them once a week. They went out 4 days with maps, with, you know, what they had to do, and they either dropped off the forms to me or they brought them back with reports that they had to write up weekly. And it was a learning curve for them. It was a learning curve for me. It was a learning curve for the sites. And those reports made up a larger report that I made up and was sent to USDA at the end of the program. And in return, I had to write reports for every one of the interns. And I would have maybe 20 to 25 interns at a time every summer. And this went on for years and years. I had hundreds of interns. This went on for years. So that you can get them to do a lot of work for you. But again, just like the newsletter, it has to be structured. There has to be learning. They were challenged by it. They loved it. These were kids who had never been out of their own hood before, meeting just a few blocks. And now they were going into borough and, you know, they felt that they'd seen the world. They went through all 5 boroughs of New York, and at the end of the summer, they had grown enormously. They took on the responsibility. They were moved by what they were doing. And so it has to meet some basic core values where they can grow and learn. And the write-ups become really simple that you have to send back to the colleges so that they get credit. You know, if they did a good job, if they were involved in the program, all kinds of things.
Dina, were these
yeah.
students social workers, social work students?
I went from taking kids that had got that were getting their GEDs out of prison to graduate students. I mean, I had a spread that you couldn't believe, and they worked with each other. That was the other learning. Nobody knew about the other. I mean, they learned about each other during the course of the summer, but they didn't know each other's backgrounds. I was very careful about that, and it allowed each of them to grow and or mentor each other.
I mean,
naturally, not by design.
We had one intern here in Ames who was a member of the journalism department at Iowa State, and he really, really thrived on writing stories for our website. And I could imagine that other journalism departments would actually be more, would have more people than the one here in Ames of journalism students who would enjoy, you know, I guess the equivalent of what you're talking about, Dina, is if they would call stations around the country or call whatever, you know, various entities around the country said we wanted to put on our website and write stories for the website. I think that could work because I saw
you
it work.
You could
here.
Also very easily, Ursula, as an example, because we already have it set up, we could do a training of interns who either are taking sociology or demography, you know, in whether it's graduate school or undergraduate, any of those kinds of departments, and we could train a bunch of them over the phone. We could assign them radio stations where they have to look up the websites, and then they do the survey. The survey is already done. We just have to train them on how to do the survey, and then they do one survey or two surveys a day for, you
yeah.
know, for weeks at a time. We'll get all of our surveys done through
yeah.
interns. It's a
yeah.
natural setup. And then if they do a good job and they're reporting back their findings and what they learn from it, then you can
yeah.
write a report on them. You know, not you, but somebody can write up whatever needs to be done to the university so that they get credit for it.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
This is Teresa. I would think that a student in broadcasting might want to do those surveys because they would be introduced to, what, 10, 15, 20, 30, however many surveys, they'd be introduced to that many radio stations. And they'd be learning
yeah.
as they do the survey.
It's just hard to find radio broadcasting departments anymore. They don't. Not very many of them exist.
But there are sociology and demography departments
mm-hmm.
that would be interested.
Yeah.
All right.
Because it's
a
study where they could learn because we can compile the results of all of the which is what we're doing anyway, of all of the surveys and send it back to them, and they're going to feel a tremendous part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
at the end of the summer when I had the interns, we could count the number of kids that they saw that got fed that normally wouldn't eat those meals. It was for low-income kids. They felt terrific when 230,000
mm-hmm.
kids ate that weren't eating. That's a huge number, you know, whatever it was. But what I'm saying is the bigger results that come out of that is meaningful to them. So they're learning from doing. That's the key to internships. They have to do something that is structured, that gives them return on their time.
Right.
All right. So, and Kine, I'd love to call you and talk with you about your contacts or your ideas on interns as well. So,
okay.
I'm going to give you a call about that.
Okay.
All right. I think we're going to. If we don't have any, that was the last item on the agenda. I do want to just mention one thing before we go, and I don't know how many people we still have on the call, but it kind of is new business, actually, but bear with me. I don't want to discuss it right now in depth, but I just want to just put this as a bug in everybody's ear, that in the development task force, Joy Moore was talking about this next year, 2014, being the 65th anniversary of Pacifica. And so that might be something that we could work around in some way, shape, or form to educate a lot of folks around the country about community radio and about Pacifica. So I'm just putting that as food for thought. And if anybody has any ideas about it, please let me know. I would really appreciate it.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I think we ought to have fireworks on all of our websites.
That sounds like a great idea. All right, everyone. So if we don't, if everyone's okay with stopping now, I would like to ask that we adjourn the meeting. Is that all right? Is any other
comments? I move that we adjourn.
All right.
Thank you, Heather.
Thanks, everyone, so much. All right.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.